Okay, so let's say you're walking into this big important meeting and there's this huge international business deal on the line. And you really want to make a good impression. You need to sound like you know what's up. But let's face it, nobody has time to become a legal expert overnight, right? Well, you're in luck because today we're doing a deep dive into the world of international arbitration. And we're going to be drawing from this really fascinating interview with Katie Gonzalez. She's a total expert in this area.
Yeah, and it's a really relevant topic, especially if you're involved in any kind of global business dealings. I mean, just think about it for a second. You've got companies from all over the world, different countries, different legal systems. They need some kind of neutral ground, some way to settle disputes fairly, and that's where international arbitration comes in.
So let's talk about Katie's journey. How did she get into this whole world? One thing that really stood out to me was how she was drawn to international work from the very beginning. But there was this one specific moment in Paris that really seems to have solidified it for her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So she was a second-year associate at this big law firm, Cleary Gottlieb, and she got this amazing opportunity to actually deliver part of the opening argument in a real arbitration hearing. And we're not talking about some practice run in law school. This was the real deal.
Wow, that's incredible. Talk about trial by fire, right? But it wasn't just about that one experience, was it? The thing that really struck me was how she talked about actively seeking out diverse mentors.
Yeah, that's a huge part of her story. You know, she didn't just wait around hoping that someone would take her under their wing. She was very intentional about building relationships with senior people at her firm. Like she mentions Jeff Rosenthal, Ari McKinnon, but she also sought guidance from people outside of her immediate circle, like Yasmin Lalu.
Why was Yasmin Lalu such a key mentor for her?
Well, Yasmin really helped Katie learn how to advocate for herself, which is so important in any profession, really, but especially in a field like arbitration, where it's still very male-dominated. Yasmin showed her how to navigate those dynamics, how to make sure her voice was heard.
I can see how valuable that would be. And it makes me think of another mentor. She mentioned Stephanie Cohen, who's an independent
Oh,
arbitrator.
yeah, Stephanie was a huge influence, too. She taught Katie a lot about leadership, particularly in those situations where women's voices might not always be the loudest in the room. It wasn't about being the most assertive person, but about being strategic about navigating those dynamics and finding ways to elevate other voices.
Yeah, that's such a powerful leadership lesson, right? And it kind of leads into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is Katie's work with New York Arbitration Week back in 2020. I mean, that was right in the middle of the
Oh,
pandemic.
totally. Everybody was feeling so isolated dealing with Zoom fatigue. But she was instrumental in creating the sense of community online. She put together all these engaging programs that really showcased New York as a hub for international arbitration.
So she basically took this major obstacle and turned it into an opportunity to innovate and bring people together. And I love how she connects International Women's Day, not just to celebrating women, but to taking a step back and reflecting.
Yeah, it's not just about patting ourselves on the back, right? It's about taking an honest look at where we are in terms of gender parity. And she makes it clear this isn't just something for the legal field. It's about looking at any area of our lives and asking some tough questions.
Okay, so she's clearly accomplished so much, but she doesn't shy away from talking about the challenges she's faced either. One thing that really resonated with me is how she talked about feeling like certain opportunities were closed off to her, maybe because of her gender or her background.
And that's where her advice gets really powerful, I think. She talks about the importance of confidence, drawing inspiration from other women who have broken barriers. And most importantly, she stresses the importance of speaking up.
Yeah, I think that's a key point. Instead of assuming a door is closed, you have to knock on it. You have to make your presence known.
Exactly. Don't let perceived limitations define your path. And this ties into her belief that diversity is absolutely essential for effective dispute resolution.
Now, I know people talk about diversity a lot, but I'm curious, what's her specific take on how it connects to actually finding solutions?
Well, she argues that to come up with truly creative and innovative solutions, you need a mix of backgrounds, genders, perspectives. A homogeneous group is more likely to get stuck in groupthink and miss out on those crucial insights that come from different lived experiences.
So it's not just about being fair, it's about being effective, it's about making better decisions.
Exactly. And she doesn't stop there. She also emphasizes that while language skills are obviously important, cultural competency is absolutely key.
That makes perfect sense when you're dealing with people from all over the world. But can you break down what she means by cultural competency?
Sure. So it's about going beyond just speaking the language. It's about understanding the nuances, the unspoken rules of communication in different cultures. Imagine you're trying to negotiate a contract with a company from Japan, for example. Their business etiquette, their decision-making style, even their sense of humor might be completely different from what you're used to.
Yeah, so it's about building trust and showing respect in a way that resonates with their culture.
Exactly. Language is just the tool. Cultural competency is the skill that allows you to actually use it effectively.
So for anyone listening who might be thinking about a career in international arbitration, Katie has some really great advice about finding your community.
And she specifically mentions how welcoming the arbitration community in New York is, especially for people who are just starting out.
Why is that so important, especially in such a specialized field?
Well, it's about having a support network, a group of people who understand the challenges you're facing, people who can offer guidance and encouragement. It's about creating that sense of belonging that can make all the difference when you're navigating a demanding career.
Okay, so we've talked about Katie's personal journey, her insights on mentorship and diversity, but there's still so much more to uncover.
Let's dig in. Yeah, so one of the things Katie talks about is this perception that there are limited opportunities for women in international arbitration. And she really emphasizes the importance of thinking outside the box, you know, not just waiting for traditional pathways to open up, but creating your own opportunities.
Can you give me an example of what that looks like in practice?
Sure. So she tells the story about how early in her career, she noticed that there weren't a lot of women being featured in arbitration publications. So she decided to take matters into her own hands. She co-authored an article on the topic. Not only did this allow her to showcase her expertise, but it also helped highlight the need for more diverse voices in the field.
That's awesome. So instead of waiting for someone to give her a platform, she created her own.
Exactly. And that proactive approach has been a constant throughout her career. She didn't just sit back and wait for opportunities to come her way. She actively sought them out.
It's pretty inspiring, right? And it reminds me of how she helped organize New York Arbitration Week during the pandemic. Talk about turning a challenge into an opportunity.
Totally. It shows a real can-do spirit. And I think that's something we can all learn from. Don't let obstacles hold you back. Find creative ways to make your mark.
Now, Katie also talks about supporting initiatives that are working towards greater equality in the field. She mentions the Equal Representation in Arbitration Pledge, which I have to admit I'm not super familiar with.
Oh, it's a fantastic initiative. Basically, it encourages organizations and individuals to commit to promoting gender balance among arbitrators. You know, those neutral third parties who make the decisions in these cases?
Okay, so why is that so important?
Well, think about it. For a long time, arbitration has been very male-dominated. This pledge is about intentionally shifting that dynamic, making sure that the people who are making decisions in these high-stakes cases represent a diversity of perspectives and backgrounds.
That makes sense. Having a more diverse group of arbitrators would hopefully lead to more balanced and fair outcomes.
Yeah.
But Katie also talks about the need for diversity among expert witnesses, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's a crucial point that sometimes gets overlooked. Expert witnesses are those specialists who provide technical expertise during these arbitration cases. So let's say you have a dispute involving a complex patent or a financial model. You need someone who really understands that area to explain it to the arbitrators.
Ah, okay. So they're kind of like the super specialized advisors in these cases.
Exactly. And historically, the pool of expert witnesses has also been very male dominated. Katie's point is that we need to diversify that pool as well to bring in a wider range of knowledge and expertise.
So it's not just about who's making the final decision, but also about who's informing that decision with their expertise.
Exactly. And she makes another interesting point about the need for different groups that are focused on diversity to work together. So, for example, she advocates for partnerships between organizations that are promoting gender equality and those that are focused on racial equality in the field, like REAL.
Because at the end of the day, it's about recognizing that all these different forms of inequality are interconnected and we need to address them holistically.
Exactly. You can't really solve one without considering the others. It's about creating a system that's truly inclusive and equitable for everyone.
Now, earlier we talked about the importance of finding your community, especially in a field like arbitration. Can you elaborate on what Katie suggests people do specifically?
Sure. So she's a big fan of organizations like ICDR Young and International. It's a group specifically for arbitration practitioners under 40, and they offer things like networking events, mentorship opportunities, It's a great way to connect with peers who are going through some more challenges.
So it's not just about finding a mentor. It's about plugging into this whole network of support.
Exactly. It's about fostering that sense of community and belonging, which can be so important, especially when you're just starting out in your career.
Katie's story is so inspiring. What did you find most compelling about her approach to success?
You know what really struck me was her emphasis on blending confidence with humility. She's clearly very ambitious and driven, but she also recognizes the importance of learning from others, seeking out different perspectives, and acknowledging that she doesn't have all the answers.
Yeah, that's a really powerful combination. I think sometimes people think you have to be either super confident or really humble. But she shows that you can be both.
It's about finding that balance, being confident in your abilities, but also being open to feedback, to growth, to constantly learning and evolving.
That's a great takeaway. Now, I want to bring this back to our listeners for a moment. We've covered a lot of ground here, from Katie's personal journey to these broader trends in international arbitration.
Yeah, but the real question is, how can our listeners apply these insights to their own life, their own careers?
You know, one thing that really got me thinking was Katie's advice about speaking up. Made me think about all those times I've held back. You know, maybe I was afraid to share my ideas or to challenge the way things are done. I wonder if there are ways we can all be more intentional about using our voices.
Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be about, you know, making these big pronouncements or being the loudest person in the room. Sometimes speaking up can be as simple as asking a thoughtful question or offering a different perspective or even just supporting someone else's idea.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's about finding those small but meaningful ways to contribute to make a difference.
Exactly. And I think Katie's emphasis on mentorship is also super relevant for our listeners. And it's not just about finding someone to mentor you. It's also about being willing to mentor others.
So it's a two-way street. We can all learn from each other, regardless of our experience level.
Exactly. Even if you're early in your career, you can still mentor someone who's just starting out. Think about the internships you've had, the skills you've developed. There's always someone who can benefit from your knowledge and experience.
That's a great reminder that mentorship doesn't have to be this formal, structured thing. It can be as simple as listening to someone sharing a resource or encouraging them to go after their goals.
And don't forget Katie's advice about seeking out diverse mentors. You know, challenge yourself to connect with people from different backgrounds, different industries, different walks of life.
Yeah, because that's how we broaden our horizons.
Yeah.
It's how we open ourselves up to new possibilities.
For sure. And another big takeaway from Katie's story is the importance of being proactive and creating your own opportunities.
She definitely didn't wait around for things to happen. She made things happen.
Exactly. So if you're passionate about something, whether it's a career goal, a side project, a social cause, whatever, don't be afraid to take initiative. Do your research network, reach out to people, and start building something.
There's that saying, right? The best way to predict the future is to create it.
I love that. And it ties in perfectly with Katie's belief in the power of community. You know, find your tribe, those people who share your passions, and will support you along the way.
Yeah, whether it's an industry group, a professional organization, or even just a group of friends who inspire you. Having that sense of belonging can make all the difference.
Absolutely. And remember, creating a more inclusive and equitable world isn't just about these grand gestures. It's also about the everyday actions, the small choices we make that add up and create a ripple effect.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm wondering, what's one concrete action our listeners could take away from Katie's story? Something they could do today to make a positive impact in their own world?
That's a great question. I would encourage our listeners to think about one area where they could be more intentional about promoting diversity and inclusion. Maybe it's diversifying their network, mentoring someone from an underrepresented group, or speaking up against bias or discrimination.
Those are all great suggestions, and it's important to remember that even small actions can have a big impact when we all do our part.
Exactly. As Katie's story shows us, each of us has the power to create positive change.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of international arbitration. And for sharing Katie's incredible insights.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, we hope this has inspired you to think differently about your own career, your own community, and your own role in creating a more just and equitable world. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep making a difference.